the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Paez.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down, and right now not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a touchdown. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
Bentley play action, so Jake Bentley chased. The Chef Smith.
Roquan Smith. He's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClair hits our train. 1-2. He did it. He did it. Steamboat played well. McClair has done it. McClair has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I'll follow you back guaranteed. Also on Twitter, twitter.com, TweetJHood. This hour we'll hear from Gerard Cherry. Three times Super Bowl champion and sad. Because he is a talk show host from ESPN Cleveland. At least he had LeBron to talk about every day. Now it's back to Browns conversation. We'll hear from Gerard Cherry, just doing a wellness check on Gerard, make sure he's okay. Also, Brian Kamenitsky, who covers Los Angeles sports for our sister station, ESPN Los Angeles. We'll get his thoughts on how Laker fans feel about the news of the weekend. LeBron James goes to Los Angeles Lakers. We're talking about it here on ESPN 1000. So glad you're aboard here on this Monday night. I have to remind you, this time tomorrow, we will be doing Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Right after SmackDown Live is over, we will have Casey Joyner from the WWE page on ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts on some of the storylines and stories around professional wrestling / sports entertainment. So we will hear from KC at 9 o'clock again, 9 o'clock, on next Tuesday. I'm sorry, tomorrow, this Tuesday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad that you're with me. So much stuff going on here. I'm reading while I'm talking to you. The stories are coming across. If you're just joining me, we have talked about NBA free agency and that DeMarcus Cousins has signed with the Golden State Warriors. 1 year, $3 million, sweetheart deal. It's kind of one of those prove-it deals because he's coming off a devastating injury when he's with the Pelicans. And so he won't be ready probably until December or January, but he signs the same deal that maybe a JaVale McGee would have signed because JaVale is no longer with the team. He went to Los Angeles Lakers. And so even though LeBron is the story, the other stories is Paul George going to the Oklahoma City Thunder and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to stay. 4-year deal. But after the second year, he has an option to get out. So the drama just continues. That's the whole thing. It's like every offseason, you don't like the NBA regular season, cool. You don't like the playoffs, cool. You don't like the finals, cool. But there's nothing that compares to the offseason moves in the NBA. So much drama. And we still don't know what's up with Kawhi Leonard, which we're going to address right now as we do a wall of sound.
Here's my dog, Jay Hood.
Some radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
You play to win the game.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
What do you care? Okay? You were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood too.
What's up with the what's up?
We'll be right back.
And it's time for a wall of sound right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So much to get through. Okay, so the Lakers, they get not only LeBron James, but they are able to knock down Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can't shoot. I don't mean LeBron. I mean some of the other guys that they have. But it's what LeBron wanted. It shows you his power. Him showing the power of to Magic and Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Lakers, saying, this is the players that I want. But yet, at the same time, who can really help you? Maybe that help is coming in the future. Stephen A. Smith, where are the Lakers amongst the best in the West?
Please understand that a legitimate argument could be made that as of right now, without Kawhi Leonard, without Paul George, the Los Angeles Lakers could be the third best team in the Western Conference. If you keep Kuzma and Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle and Lonzo Ball and you add JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson and you keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lakers could be the third best team in the Western Conference. Because LeBron makes that much of a difference.
Well, Julius Randle now is a Pelican. Does Steven feel differently? Probably not. Hell no! He still would feel the same way, that they're the third best team. I think it's more like fourth, because Oklahoma City is coming. They're able to resign Paul George. He's going to be a catalyst for that team. I think the second time around, that team will be better than it was last year. So, Ryan Hollins, his thoughts on Golic and Wingo. Lakers want to be contenders next season.
There's no patience here. There's no patience with Magic Johnson and not with LeBron, because we all got to be honest here. We don't know how long he's going to be playing at that high of a level. And we've seen him do more with less, but later in his career, he's not going to be repeating 82 games. And you don't want to fall into a situation, and this was the concern in the Western Conference, where you miss the playoffs or you're flirting with that seventh or eighth seed. You want to sit comfortable at least somewhere around fourth or fifth or higher. And this is going to be a tougher do in the West with Golden State, with Houston returning their same team, and a couple of these
Utah.
Other teams. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of these other teams retooling. So LeBron still will need another piece, but you wouldn't expect him to be 8th seed, 7th seed, and now him cruising, you're going to need, I mean, at least 70 games out of LeBron this year.
So Ryan Hollins on LeBron. Brian Windhorst, a long-term play for LeBron.
It's not just about what the Lakers have today. This is, as Woj mentioned, this is a more of a wide-ranging deal that is involved with lifestyle, involved with business interests, and involved with the Lakers can be. And they have options to obviously add star players, and they have options to add key role players that LeBron will be connected to. And it's probably going to take them a while, 2 years or so, maybe, to build up to what they can be. This is going to be a major culture shift for LeBron. He's never played in the Western Conference, 15 years in the Eastern Conference, 8 straight years in the finals. He's owned the Eastern Conference really for the last, decade plus. He's been to 9 of the last 12, he's won the title in the East 9 of the last 12 years. So this is a major shift.
So the thoughts there from Brian Windhorst from ESPN.com as we do Wall of Sound here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Just trying to keep you up to date of what's been going on here. How about Kawhi Leonard, right? Kawhi Leonard, does he go back to the San Antonio Spurs? He's asked for a deal, a trade. He wants out of there. And I see here from Michael Schwartz, best trade assets for a Kawhi Leonard deal. Lakers with Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Mo Wagner. The Lakers own all of their future first-round picks, but they don't have any extras. It could be the Celtics. Remember, they have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, restricted free agent Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, who can't seem to wake up on time, the draft pick for the Celtics. What a slug already out of the box for the Celtics. Not only could he not wake up on time, but also missed his flight from Summer League. He's supposed to go to Summer League. He missed the flight. We found that out last night. I don't know. That's a bad spot for the 27th pick in the draft for the Celtics. Anyway, so Michael C. Wright, friend of the program, former Bears writer, and, of course, covering the Spurs now in San Antonio. Nick Friedel and I had him on yesterday, and we talked about, and I just want to kind of give context. Like, why is there a rift between Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs? Where did it begin?
Oh, that's easy. I can give you almost a precise date.
The precise date that the San Antonio Spurs gave Kawhi and his people control of the rehab process was August 8th of 2017. So that was not even a year ago, I guess. But around that time, Kawhi went to China. He went on a NBA-sponsored trip or whatever. And the thing about it was the Spurs could not get him on the phone. And typically when they have a player go abroad for some NBA type of thing, and they like to send their security and all their public relations people and all that stuff, they couldn't even get him on the phone. And, you know, I talked to some of the people within the organization, and they told me that to them, that was sort of the first signal that things were not as they seemed to be with Kawhi. And so, yeah, I mean, this has been a situation that's been ongoing for quite a while. And I still don't know if we're coming to any resolution anytime soon, though, because, you know, from what I hear, the Spurs want the world for Kawhi Leonard right now, and no team is willing to give that up.
So Michael C. Wright, who covers the Spurs for ESPN.com, talking there. So interesting. So what about the Bulls, right? Here's what about the Bulls. Because of LeBron James going to the Los Angeles Lakers, you know what happens, right? The Bulls will be in the playoffs. The Bulls are going to be in the playoffs. So much for the tank. They will be a seventh or eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. And what does that get you? It gets you a playoff berth. But what does that get you for the long haul? Gar Foreman was asked, how do you define a successful season? And Gar said this. You'll love it.
Continued growth.
Is that playoffs, though?
No, I wouldn't. We need to where we're at. And again, to me, you're asking about is continued growth of this young core of players. And
can you see continued growth if you win 32 games again next season?
Yeah, I think you know when you see it and you know when you don't. And, like, so to me, you know, like, look, you look at Lowry Marketing, and you can see him grow throughout the year, gain confidence, get better. Now you go into an off season, and we look at the work that he's putting in, and you guys probably saw the picture that was on. You just look at his body and how he's getting stronger.
He's not doing anything illegal, is he?
No, absolutely not. At this point in a rebuild, you know, we're taking a big picture view of it, and so that's what it's about, continuing to add young players to the core, continuing to see growth with those young players, continuing to have a level of flexibility so that when there are opportunities, we can take advantage of them. And if we do that and stay disciplined in our decision-making, you know, we think we're headed in the right direction. Now we got to keep chipping away and keep adding to it.
Gar Foreman, the general manager of the Chicago Bulls on draft night, talking to Nick Friedel, Chris Bleck, and I on what would be a successful season for the Bulls. You know what's going to happen, right? Bulls are going to the playoffs. They have to try. I told you this, Eric. I told you before. The Bulls have to try and try to tear this down from the top, meaning like no signing of LaVine because LaVine's looking for Max and they got to negotiate that. They got to figure out somewhere down the line in the middle of the season if they're going to try to, you know, get the top three, top four pick in the draft. If they don't do that, that team is good enough, bad enough, however you want to describe it, to be a top eight team in the East.
It's going to happen. It is. They're going to go, we're going to be right back to where we were 2 years ago. There's no doubt that's where the Bulls are now.
It's tremendous. I don't want to be the seventh and eighth seed anymore. Guess what? You're the seventh and eighth seed again. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, we're pleased to be joined by a three-time Super Bowl champion. Man who does a talk show for our sister station, ESPN Cleveland. We turn over to Gerard Cherry, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN app. Hello, Gerard.
Hey, how's it going, Jonathan?
You all right? Gerard?
Yeah, I'm here.
You all right? I'm just calling to do a wellness check, man. I want to make sure you're all right.
I'm not doing too good, man. It's a pretty bad day here. I've been crying all day and all night, and I just can't believe it.
I just want to just
level again.
See, man, I just want to check on you, man, because this is a very tough time in Cleveland. I mean, he had a choice. I've been saying all along the last 3 weeks, he's either Cleveland or L.A. I thought that he would side with home a little bit more, but I guess not.
Nah, and it's pretty astonishing when you really think about the situation. You're going out to California, where I'm from, and I know the state tax there is hefty, like a good 11%. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're going out there for the money. Now, I can understand to a degree the weather, but you lived in Miami. It doesn't get no better than that from a weather standpoint unless you're in San Diego, and L.A. is not quite San Diego. So I'm trying to add all the things up to say to myself, it can't be a basketball reason because in my mind, the Cavaliers are further ahead than the Lakers are. Mm-hmm. So really, what was the deal here? It just makes no sense. And from a competitive standpoint, are you going to face the Warriors on the regular? Now if they sign Cousins, good luck with that. So I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out what was the angst, what was the problem to where you and Dan Gilbert just could not move forward in this relationship. I still don't get it.
That really is the disconnect. I think that really, Gerard, is where the rubber meets the road. I think that he would rather bow out in the first or second round in the Western Conference playoffs than spend another day under the umbrella of Dan Gilbert. And I think that's what it came down to. What do you think?
It is, Dan. It's an interesting dynamic. And I'm not the one to play this whole thing about race card. I don't put LeBron in that category, so to speak. But it's just interesting to me. There's just this dynamic of I don't want to work for the man type of mentality that may be going on in this situation because I'm saying to myself, what has Magic done from a general manager slash have influence upon an owner standpoint that will make you side with him to go there when it's the same offering here with Dan Gilbert? But I get LeBron's on that path to being an owner, and he sees things and experiences things in a different light. And so it's just maybe something I can't understand, but I do get the gripe between management and players, and I do understand that sometimes if you don't respect your owner and you see him seeing you in the light as just someone who's making money, that you're a product and a basically a commodity, that you will have offense to that. So the only thing I can assume is that must be the part of the relationship because the other stuff don't make sense. And that's me saying, that's not anything LeBron said or anybody reporting that. It's just my own way of really looking at it, saying the relationship is to that point to where you see Dan as seeing you as a commodity and not a person, hence why you bounce.
Gerard Cherry from ESPN Cleveland with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we do a wellness check for Gerard Cherry and our friends over at ESPN Cleveland to find out how everything is going. Now, as soon as that deal took place, when you heard the news on Sunday, how quickly did you call your investors to pull out of that deal? Because I know you had some business dealings in Cleveland, and it was all built on LeBron. How quickly did you get those 2x4s and those boards up on that building?
Oh, man, the real estate market is still hot here, if you can believe that or not. But it'll be tested in the next few months for sure. So I am concerned and worried. And there's me right there seeing LeBron as a commodity. See, more concerned about the fact that downtown won't be popping as much and jumping as much because he's gone, and that he did attract people and he helped uplift a local economy. And that's going to be sorely missed because people are going to be laid off and probably lose jobs behind it if the attendance is not as great as it once was and downtown is not a place where people are trying to hang out. So, yeah, I am concerned, but we'll see, man. Like I said, Cleveland's in the midst of a revitalization, and LeBron played a huge part in that. And no one can deny that whatsoever. And we have to be appreciative of the fact that he played a part in that because of his talents being on display at the Quicken Loans Arena on a regular basis. But, yeah, I am concerned. I really am concerned from an investment standpoint that the real estate market downtown may drop drastically because of his presence not being there. And that just shows you how much impact he had on the region, in particular downtown Cleveland.
Colin Sexton's not going to make up that money for you, is he?
Not quite. No, I mean, think about it, Jonathan. We went through a situation where we had the best player, arguably, on the planet on our basketball team. And now we're in a situation where they may get rid of Kevin Love. Who knows what the other two guys that will be left from the championship team are capable of doing or even want to do, to being in obscurity. I mean, you go from literally the in-house to the outhouse.
Well,
one move.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to know what was the reaction on your show today, and because I know that there are some fans that are cool with this, saying that okay, he got us a championship in Cleveland, so all right, we understand he has to move on. But what was the overall reaction to this move? Was it anger or was it understanding?
I would lean towards the side of understanding. And people, I think, if anything, are appreciative of what they actually witnessed and saw with his performance. Because when you watch the finals, you saw guys, and throughout the course of these playoffs in particular, and heck, for the whole four-year stretch, who played his heart out, his guts and soul, he left out there on the court. And if you're a fan and you can't respect that, then you have issues. And I believe in that regard, Cleveland fans are fair. And at the end of the day, what they want to see is effort. And he gave more than effort. I felt he poured his heart and soul out there. And so people will give him a pass on the fact that he couldn't give that same type of effort and energy into repairing his relationship with Gilbert. But from a basketball standpoint, what he actually did on the court, people respect that and say, you know what, if that's what you need to do, thank you for getting us a championship, though we thought it should have been more. And had he ever had a better relationship with Gilbert, that probably could have been the case. And had he had done the same thing of signing a multi-year deal with the Cavaliers like he did the Lakers, probably have a different composition right now, that basketball team as we speak. But obviously that didn't happen. But yeah, man, I was actually pleasantly surprised that people didn't go to the, in mass numbers, let's go burn a jersey. Let's say we hate LeBron. Nah, I appreciate LeBron because, again, jobs were created. A region was revitalized from an economic standpoint literally because of his presence. Mm-hmm. You can't respect that and applaud that. You are some ungrateful souls.
Well, I understand. And Gerard, we pick him up, Eric. We appreciate Gerard's time. Gerard's, you can just hear the pacemaker in the backdrop. You could hear him with every sentence, with every breath. He was getting upset. You could hear him being at the hospital right now and the heart monitor going up. So we appreciate Gerard's time. Poor Gerard. See, now all they have to talk about is the Browns. So, but I mean, listen to what he was saying though. You know, on one side, wow, look at what happened in Cleveland, an NBA championship caliber team winning multiple Eastern Conference championships. And then getting to the point where LeBron decides he wants to leave because he's tired of Dan Gilbert. And so then he leaves. And Eric, what's really serious about this is what he talked about through all that heart monitor stuff we were hearing there is the economy. That's like we josh about it, but it's true. Like with LeBron gone, they're just hammering up these businesses, and people are losing jobs because people are going to the bars and restaurants if they couldn't get into the Quicken Loans Arena, and they were just chilling, hanging out, watching a championship ball club at bars and restaurants, and they're not going to do that with Colin Sexton.
No, like, and think about out of town. Like, it's not that bad of a drive, so it'd be worth driving to Cleveland to watch LeBron play. You're going to get in a hotel, you're going to eat at the restaurants, and now I'm not going to Cleveland to watch that Cavaliers team play. Like, there's no drive. There's no need to.
Glad Dan Gilbert got what he wanted. Dan Gilbert said, I want to see what it was like, you know, without LeBron James, and now he's going to get a chance. You know, try to build without him. All those championships. And then the other thing too, and I understand that we live in a world now where people believe that the sky is orange every day, all day. And that's fine. That's the kind of world we live in now where you know you can see the color of the sky. You see that it's blue, but people are going to tell you it's orange and argue about it everywhere. Like, all right, cool. You want to tell me that the sky is orange? Fine. All I will tell you is that there is value in those Eastern Conference championships. Whether you like LeBron James or not, he held the entire conference down. Derrick Rose couldn't do it. Boston couldn't do it. Atlanta couldn't do it. Indiana couldn't do it. All these top teams in the East could not do it under the LeBron James administration in the Eastern Conference. He held it down, held all those teams down. And now look, now he went to the West, and now Cleveland's nothing. It's nothing. It's worse than Orlando right now. It's worse than Atlanta.
It is. They don't have, like, at least like Orlando or Atlanta have, like, youth that there's something to watch. There's nothing in this Cleveland team.
It's nothing. But yet people was like, oh, well, LeBron's garbage, LeBron. I think that if you're LeBron, you'd rather win those Eastern Conference championships and win all those games and knock all these teams out rather than to be just another player, just another guy. He's not another guy. He's special. He's a great player. And now he's gone to the West, like so many others going to the West. No sleep for this NBA fan. Many Western Conference games will continue to watch. And again, and just let me accentuate the point one more time before I hit this button. You got to understand this. LeBron James, for his peace of mind, would rather be bounced in the first round, be bounced in the second round with that Lakers team, than to play another minute for the Cavs, his home team, just because of ownership flapping their gums, running their damn mouth about, you know, about LeBron James, good riddance, the first time he comes back wins you a championship. Now, that was a nice letter written by Dan Gilbert because he finally showed class. But what about the entire time? Where was the class that he showed then? While LeBron was winning championships for you, making money for you, but yet you just continue to have diarrhea of the mouth. Why? I would do everything I could to keep that guy. Anything I could. No, we're ready to build without him. All right, cool. Good luck. And get ready for the Browns, Cleveland, because that's all you got going for you. And that's horrible, too. Let's find out what's happening in Los Angeles. I know that they're happy. We go to Brian Kamenitsky, talk show host for ESPN LA. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad that you're with us as we continue to talk NBA free agency. You know, Eric, it's just kind of, I was just kind of going through my phone book just the other day, and I said, you know, there's someone I haven't talked to in a while. Oh, the Lakers are good. Oh, Brian Kamenitsky. It's like going through looking for an old friend, and you find Brian Kamenitsky. There's a reason why we haven't talked, Brian, for a while. From our sister station, ESPN 710 in Los Angeles, he's with us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Brian.
Hey, it feels like it's been about 5 years since you've had reason to call LA.
It's been a while between relevant teams, right?
Exactly.
So don't forget, by the way, to check out the Kamenitsky Brothers podcast, wherever you find your podcast, Apple Music and otherwise. Again, it's Kamenitsky Brothers podcast. Look for it on Apple Music and wherever you find your podcasts. So let's discuss the big signing for the Lakers. Rajon Rondo, big time blockbuster deal. Your thoughts, sir?
This is one that I know the Lakers have had interest in Rondo for a couple years, and he's been linked to LA at different times, and it's never quite worked out. But what's fascinating to me about this is, you know, the news of Rondo signing in LA, you know, 1 year, $9 million, came right on the heels of the news that they had renounced the rights to Julius Randle. And so, you know, you're talking about moves that are obviously related to each other. And so,
sure.
You know, the Lakers essentially seem to have chosen a year of Rajon Rondo over Randle. And that could mean Randle didn't want to be here. It could mean they didn't want to commit to him. It could mean all kinds of things. But it's an interesting choice. And then we'll see what else the Lakers end up doing. Because while they have LeBron, the guys they've signed since, none of them can shoot. So they're building an interesting roster.
Yeah, I was kidding about the Rondo, but I think that it is a correlation there with Rondo now being part of this Lakers team. So I'm trying to figure this out. I really believe, Brian, when we take a step back at all of this, I don't think anyone has wielded the power in the NBA like LeBron James. I was talking earlier about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan went to Jerry Krause and said, I want Walter Davis on the team. And Krause said, no, I'll give you Buddha Edwards instead. I mean, even Jordan didn't have this type of power to say, you know, I'm going to leave Cleveland, I'm going to go to Los Angeles, and I might bring some friends along with me. Is there anyone else that you could think of that has that kind of power that's a player in the league?
I don't think so. I mean, you could argue maybe Kevin Durant. I mean, Durant is starting to wield that influence in Golden State in terms of how he's doing his contracts and all. We'll do a one-on-one, and he's never going to give up the full amount of leverage. It's all very Don Draper. But what I love about the LeBron stuff is go through each one of these things, and each time the context of how he uses his power and his influence changes a little bit, you know. At first, it was the big TV show, and he's going to Miami, and he's kind of building this. It didn't work, but, you know, you're kind of building into something new and leveraging your celebrity and the interest in you to try something that hadn't been done before. And, again, it didn't work, but it was remarkable for its time. And then the second time he goes back and he's influencing how Cleveland does, you know, makes up their roster and engineering an Andrew Wiggins deal, and all this stuff. And now he comes to L.A., and because the context of his life is different, he's looking for somewhere where his kids can be in school for a few years, where he can be closer to his business things and his, you know, entertainment and all these other things. You know, now he comes and he doesn't really put conditions on Magic Johnson and Rob Link in the front office. And he says, you don't have to do something crazy and empty the cupboard for Kawhi or whatever it might be. I'm here for a long-term play, and you guys can manage everything accordingly. And I think that's fascinating in that each time he just adjusts the arrival to these teams to fit the place that he's in his life.
Brian Kamenetsky from our sister station ESPN Los Angeles with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Brian, as is, where are the Lakers in the Western Conference finishing? Again, we don't know if there's going to be another shoe to drop, another big free agent or trade that will take place. But how do you look at the West now with LeBron and the additions?
Well, I know they're going to be shooting. They'll finish somewhere near the bottom of three-point shooting. But in terms of wins, I saw Nate Silver at 538 had him at either 52 or 53. And that, to me, makes some sense. I think they're right in the mix. If they, let's say they don't add anyone else, now you add, you know, you factor in Rondo and Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, along with the growth that you're going to get now, not from Randall, but from Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma with Josh Hart in there. I think, you know, this could have, you know, if nobody got hurt last year, they could have won close to 40 games. You add LeBron to that mix with the natural improvement of players. And we're talking about a team that should win around 50 games. What that means in the Western Conference, though, is hard to figure out, because if I ask you to make a list of teams that had, let's say, like a 30% chance of winning 50 games, you'd probably put 10 teams on it. I mean, all the way down from, you know, obviously Golden State and Houston at the top to, you know, a team like Denver probably would have won 50 or could have won 50 if Millsap doesn't get hurt last year. You know, San Antonio won 47 without Kawhi last year, so it's conceivable they could win 50 again this year. It's crazy to think that the Lakers could jump up into 51, 52, 53 wins, and that could still be a 6 or a 7 or a 5, or it could be a 3. But they're competitive again. They're going to be relevant in ways that they haven't been relevant for a while, even going back to before Kobe retired. And I don't think, you know, Golden State long-term is excited at the prospect of having LeBron James in the Western Conference, just based on what he's going to attract to L.A.
This next question is something that it will be talked about all summer, and you could be the first show to talk about it, and that is, what did you think of Luke Walton before LeBron signed with the Lakers, and do you feel now that LeBron's with the team, is he going to be Ty Lue'd?
No, I actually don't. And I'll go back to what I was saying before. I think the context of how LeBron is arriving here helps Luke in a big way, because he's being given the front office that kind of blessing to roll this all into 2019, it's not going to be instant. I think, you know, Luke has time to develop that sort of relationship and that kind of respect that LeBron and Spoelstra eventually had with each other. I think that will be a big part of it. Walton has a lot of experience around this kind of thing. You know, his dad played with superstars. He was on a team with Kobe and Phil Jackson. He saw that. He coached Steph Curry, and Clay and Draymond in Golden State. So he saw that. I think he's as well equipped as any young coach could be to deal with this. And then the Lakers have a lot of institutional strength when you look at Magic Johnson, who can be that Pat Riley to support Luke and have that kind of juice. Because, you know, say what you want about LeBron, he does not have more juice in this city than Magic does. And if it came down to one or the other, the city would side with Magic before it sides with LeBron. So I think Luke is relatively safe, and this is about as good of a situation as a young coach could be in, understanding the pressure that LeBron brings.
Now, the reason why that I use the phrase Ty Lue'd, it's not that Ty was on his way out as a head coach or anything like that, but you remember when Blatt was the head coach, when David Blatt's the head coach, and seemingly a lot of the players, including LeBron, favored Ty Lue because they listened to Ty. Ty becomes the head coach, and then you start seeing the power going away from Ty Lue, where it's still, sure, it's LeBron's team, but still, at the same time, I don't know if the respect was as strong for Ty Lue as it was when he was just a chair over as an assistant. That's why I asked you about Luke, because
I think it's a great point. And I think part of that though comes from the fact, the idea that it was LeBron who got Ty Lue hired. Mm-hmm. And obviously Walton was here first, and so that makes a difference. But then too, I feel like in the back of that, there was no support for Ty Lue structurally. Like, there's nothing in the Cavs organization that would get you, as, if you're LeBron or if you're somebody watching how this team is functioning or how the organization is functioning, to really have the back of the coach. And so, the front office was in disarray and they fired their GM, and, the relationship between LeBron and the owner was never very good. And so you have all this stuff going on. And so the spine of the organization, so to speak, wasn't strong enough to fight the perception that LeBron was really the coach of that team. So you add it all up, and it was just, it's a hard situation for Ty Lue. Luke is operating, I think, at least, under a completely different context. Obviously, LeBron's going to have a lot of influence on what goes on, but that's true of any star, across the NBA. They have a lot of influence on what goes on the floor. But I don't think it's exactly the same, and I think Luke is definitely better off than Ty Lue.
Brian, coming into free agency, and maybe with the belief that LeBron would come, or at least could come, to Los Angeles, did you have a preference on a sidekick with LeBron, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, or Kawhi Leonard?
I'm a huge fan of watching the idea of watching LeBron and Kawhi together. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a team that could be very difficult to score against in the playoffs when you get an engaged LeBron defensively next to Kawhi Leonard, and stick somebody, I don't know who would be left over in that situation if Brandon Ingram is still around. Lonzo Ball was very good defensively as a rookie point guard last year. Now they have Rondo, they've got Lance Stevenson, who is certainly at the very least willing to try on that end of the floor. But I think Kawhi is a great wingman, in part because I think the on-court skill set matches up, but also because since he's 27, he's got space to grow into that role where, you have a five-year window of Kawhi being an elite player, probably, who can take over a little bit when LeBron goes. So if LeBron starts to fade after 3 years, it doesn't shut a window on what the Lakers are trying to do. So he was always my favorite. The advantage to Paul George, of course, is they could just sign him and not give up any stuff. And he's a pretty good player, too. So, all three would have been ideal, but they got the one that matters most in LeBron, and we'll see what happens after that.
Brian, we're talking about a player, LeBron James, is clearly comfortable in his own skin. I don't foresee a championship like next year for the Lakers, but I could see the Lakers building toward that. And it's almost like LeBron chose just basketball happiness and being someplace where he could be appreciated and not have to deal with the upper management of Dan Gilbert and all that with Cleveland, just to come to Los Angeles. That's kind of how I look at it. I told the story earlier in the show about when I had a conversation with Kobe Bryant. He was on my radio show with Sean Salisbury, and he said that during one of his free agency times that he really seriously thought about coming to Chicago, in which he came here, it was kind of looking around at homes, looking at education for his kids, and was thinking about it, and then thought, no, I think Los Angeles is home, this is Michael's spot. I mean, whether he was telling the truth or not, I just think that there's that perception of, okay, this is Michael's town, there's no need for me to go, I'm going to finish out in Los Angeles. But for Kobe, for LeBron, Ryan, he's just comfortable in his own skin, just like, I gave you the championship to Cleveland, I helped that, won two championships in Miami, now I'm just going to be happy for myself and my family. I'm just going to go to L.A. and see what happens. I like him rolling the dice that way.
I think it's great, and I think it shows a guy who understands what his legacy is and that there's nowhere really he can go where the people who want to knock him down won't do it. Like, if he goes to Philly, they'll say he's scared to come west. And if he stays in Cleveland, then, oh, he knows he's not going to win there, but he just wants to be popular. Like, when you get to the level of LeBron James, somebody is always going to be there to try to take you down a peg. And especially, I'm sure you get this in Chicago all the time, with the MJ comparisons, to make sure that stays safe, that nobody, gets over Jordan to be the greatest player of all time. And, in L.A., there's a lot of, sort of the Kobe support where, okay, LeBron's not really our guy because you know, we can't let him get past Kobe. LeBron doesn't care about any of that stuff. And I think one of the things we always do in media and as fans is we don't always listen to what these guys seem to be saying. And he was obviously serious when he said, I want to put my family somewhere where they're going to be happy, where they're going to be comfortable, and I can leave everybody stay and let them stay put for a few years at the least. And L.A. makes perfect sense. You know, if you are the son, if you're the daughter of LeBron James, this is actually a really easy, it's a much easier place to grow up, you know, out here where you're going to be among other celebrity kids and other stars, and the attention isn't always going to be on you. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that sense, it works out really well. And then from a basketball standpoint, I don't think he could have gone anywhere to win a title this year, at least. And so you might as well come out here. The Lakers are set up, or at least were set up, to have a lot of flexibility to win down the road. We'll see what they end up doing for this year and what it all looks like when everything stops spinning. And who knows? Maybe they might have done three things while we've been talking. But, you know, I think in the long run, he looked at it and said, I'm not going to win a title anywhere probably next year anyway. I might as well go where my family's going to be happy, my kids are going to be happy, I'm going to be happy. And we do eventually have a chance to win.
Brian, as always, we appreciate your time. You'll be hearing from me a lot more. So look for my number.
It'll get to you to pop up on your phone. Great. Now all of a sudden, now I'm wanted again. All right. Okay. I know what the score is. Now you need me. You didn't care when we were winning 19 games a year out here, but now all of a sudden we're popular.
Well, this is a win-win. It's a win-win for you because you got LeBron to talk about. And then on my side, the Bulls will make the playoffs now. Now LeBron's at the East, the Bulls will be back in the playoff mix.
Well, I mean, technically, isn't everybody like the fifth best player in the Eastern Conference right now? It's like Mario Hezonja.
Right.
There are no good players.
Amazing. It really is amazing. I appreciate your time, Brian. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime.
Brian Kamenetsky from our sister station ESPN Los Angeles. Don't forget the Kamenetsky Brothers podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, Apple Music and other places, Kamenetsky Brothers podcast. As you're listening to Under the Hood.